Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
And now let's go to the Lord and worship through prayer this morning. Would you bow your heads?
Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we come before you. You are so awesome and so wonderful. You have prepared so many things for us, Father. You have given us so much. And Father, so many times we want feeling to be in the equation, and so many times, Father, we feel all alone. But Father, we have the promise that we are never alone if we're your child. But could you tell us you will never leave us nor forsake us? Father, today, I pray for everything that happens in your house, Father. I pray for those that are sick and hurting, Father, for those that are missing loved ones, Father. And Father, we just pray that we could be an example for you in a world that is lost and dying, Father. Lord Jesus, we pray now, Father, for our pastor as he comes and as he breaks the bread of life today. Father, that you will speak through him and bring a message to each one of us, Father, that we desperately need to hear. And Father, I want to pray for Brother Billy as he does Sunday school later, and for all the Sunday school teachers, Father. Lord, that you would just bless them today. Anoint them from on high, Father. Let the words they speak be your words and not theirs. Father, we love you and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. If you do not sense the Spirit of Almighty God with us, my question is, why not? He is here. Hallelujah, he is here. You need to pray for your pastor this morning, if I am your pastor. And if not, pray for the preacher. When they were singing that song, "I'm Bound for the Promised Land," I was thinking about my good buddy Ken Spiceland. We never know, do we? And I've done 5 funerals in the last 8 days. And man, a lot of people are heading out to the Promised Land. And there's quite a few others that are not. I wanted to follow up the great message, the testimony that we heard last week from Dr. Tommy on healing. How many of you were here and heard that message last week? Man, wasn't that fabulous? That was powerful. And he's one of the great doctors in this area. God healed him powerfully and supernaturally. He's a Sunday school teacher at First Baptist Hendersonville, so he's Baptist. All right? God even will heal a Baptist from time to time. And his testimony was so, so powerful. And Diana's cousin's husband, Randall Davis, was great too. It just honored God. And so I decided I wanted to, I really prayed and really prayed. And I said, God, what did you want me to, how do I need to follow this up? And so I wanted to follow this up with a message on biblical healing. What does real biblical healing look like? And I want to preface everything I'm going to say this morning by saying this. Wherever and whenever you find healing, you find God. Because as you heard last week, all healing comes from God. No matter how you get it, no matter where it comes from, it's from God. And so, does God still heal? As you heard last week. And if you didn't hear, man, get on our YouTube channel or our Facebook page and listen to that great testimony. And so I want to talk about biblical healing for a minute. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture in just a moment, I promise, that we've looked at before. But God gave me a different slant with it this week. And there's all kinds of instances of healing in the Bible. In the Old Testament, for instance. You remember Naaman the leper was healed. You remember King Hezekiah had contracted a deadly disease and he prayed for healing. God healed him and he got 15 more years. How many of y'all would like to get 15 more? Huh? And then Elisha and Elijah spoke healing over people in the Old Testament. But it's the majority of divine healings come in your New Testament. And as a matter of fact, when you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, say that with me, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the four Gospels. When you get to the Gospels, there are 41 instances of divine healing. Jesus healed people many times, multitudes, sometimes individuals, sometimes two or three. But Jesus healed people physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. There's 41 concrete instances in the Gospels of Jesus' healing ministry. As a matter of fact, one-fifth of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, deal with the healing ministry of the Lord. Sometimes Jesus would heal, well, he healed folks with demonic issues, right? We've heard about that in Bible study. Sometimes he would heal people of skin diseases. Right? He would heal of crippled folks, people who had paralysis and palsy. He would often heal folks who, that had fever. He healed folks of blindness and deafness and folks who couldn't speak and mute. And he did this in a lot of different ways. Sometimes all he would do was just touch somebody and they were healed. Sometimes he would just speak and give a command and people would be healed. Sometimes, you fishermen, he'd grab a little dirt and spit in his hands and rub it together and place it on somebody's head and they'd be healed. Sometimes he would use faith and ask them to exercise faith. Sometimes he would pray. But every time Jesus decided to heal somebody, do you know what the motivating factor was? Personally, he was motivated by compassion and love for people. That's what motivated him. Now we're going to talk about, somebody said faith. We're going to talk about faith today. But Jesus is still in the healing business. Now, I'm not all about this name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, you know, and all this stuff. But there is divine healing today. And so what does the Bible say about healing? Well, let's get to the Word of God. Amen? It's about time to do that. So let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I preached this passage before, but this is a totally different slant of it. Sometimes God will give you some scripture you've read over and over again, and it just jumps out at you for the first time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, verse 13, James 5, if you're there, say amen. And if you can stand to your feet, let's honor God's word by standing. If you can't, that's all right. You just honor God's word in your heart. James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? What a great question. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Say, uh-oh. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I could call on a lot of folks in here who have been healed by God's divine touch. But I want to call on Coach Gregory. Twice I've been in his home, and we've seen God touch their home with healing. Coach Gregory, ask God to bless the word today, would you?
Oh my God, the praise of God. God, just give us the power of the word and the message of the God, we know from our own experience that you're still in these days. God, you've been hurt with everything. God, I know for this house today, if you need to be able to accept you, I'm so sorry. God, we know if many people out in the hospitals and other places need to be healing. God, we know through you, all things are possible. God, just give us the power, give them a great message. Let us all understand, listen, and put it in our hearts.
Yes. Amen. What does the Bible say about healing? Well, let me just set you on edge this morning. You're going to need healing. The human condition that we have demands from time to time that we need healing. Amen. How many of you have been sick and suffering lately? Well, guess what? If you didn't raise your hand, it's coming. You're going to need a touch from Jesus. You're going to need some healing. And sometimes we wind up sick and suffering because of personal sin. Come on, say amen. Amen. Sexual immorality, I mean, that leads to suffering like herpes and venereal disease and all kinds of stuff. Drunkenness leads to all kinds of issues like vehicular homicide, and I don't want to go too far there. But sometimes sickness and suffering comes as a result of personal sin. And then sometimes sickness and suffering comes because of personal choice. I'm guilty. Some of us have been digging ourselves an early grave with our fork. That's why I've lost 34 pounds. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, some of the things we eat, some of the things we don't eat. Lack of exercise. Drinking in excess. Use of tobacco. All of these things can lead to cancer, heart attack, stroke, diabetes, all these things. And then finally, of course, there's some other issues, but here's another big one. Sometimes sickness and suffering comes from the evil one, from Satan. Oh, if we could get Job up in here this morning to give testimony, he'd tell you all about it. And so just the human condition that we're in demands and desires healing from time to time. And so I want to say this to you. If you've got your outline, we're just going to follow these notes this morning, this outline that I've given you. And when healing comes, to a biblical healing comes in a person's life, it happens when three conditions are met. And the first thing that has to happen, that should happen, you got to get prepared to be healed. We got to prepare for healing. Now, I want to give you two preparations for healing, okay? And one of the ways that we prepare for healing is praise. One of the ways we prepare for healing is praise. Jesus said, or James rather said, is anyone happy? Is anyone cheerful? I might ask that question in this section. Is anyone happy? Then sing psalms. Psalms is the Hebrew hymn book. Did you know that? And the book of Psalms has all kinds of praise in it for God. Excuse me. And did you know that over in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, when worshipers were going to the temple, you know what they would do? They would sing. And they would praise God. They would sing the Psalms. And they would sing praise. God, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of His people. And you know, praise is not... Thanksgiving and gratitude is for the things that God has done and is doing. That's not praise. Praise is giving God honor and glory for just who He is. Okay? And let me tell you, there is a special fellowship and a special walk with Jesus in the midst of sickness and suffering that you can't get any other way when you just lift up holy hands and praise God for who He is. We can praise God this morning. That's one of the ways we prepare for healing. You can praise God because He's the God of grace and mercy. I'm exhibit A of His grace and mercy. We can praise God because He's the God of salvation. Man, we didn't deserve that. But God did that. He is the God of creation. He created everything. He is the God of holiness and righteousness. He is a great and mighty God. He's majestic. He's magnificent. Dr. Robert Smith used to say He's so big He bumps into Himself. We can praise God for who He is. He's omniscient. He knows everything there is to know. And He's everywhere. You can't get away from God. Wherever you go, He's there. And He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do anything. And so we lift up praise this morning because we know God is able. God is able. Tell somebody today, God is able. He is able to heal us of all diseases. Well, when's a good time to praise God? How about right now? Y'all are Baptists. Let's give Him praise. Come on now. He is able. And so we give God praise. That's one of the ways that we prepare for healing. And then secondly, He said, is anyone among you sick? There in verse 13, He says, let him pray. Well, duh. Pray. Now, I believe in doctors. My daddy was a physician. I believe in doctors. I do. But when we fall sick, or when we're suffering, the first person that we don't call is not the doctor. What do you mean, Pastor? The first person you call on is the first person of the Trinity. You call Father God. That's who you call on. And then, you don't believe that? When you get home this afternoon, you look up 2 Chronicles, I believe it's chapter 16 and verse 12. King Asa, he wound up with a malady, a deadly disease of the feet. It may have been diabetes. Maybe they're going to have to cut it. Anyways, and he sought the physicians without seeking God. And you know what happened to King Asa? He died. Right. And so when we get sick and when we suffer, the first thing we ought to do is we pray. We pray. We seek His face. And then, after we've done that, God gave us a mind, right? And in this country, one of the ways that God provides healing comes through doctors and nurses and hospitals and medicine and assisted living places. There's facilities, all kinds of things that God uses, methods, ways to heal people. But all healing comes from Him. And so we seek Him first. All right? I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and they were sick. And I said, have you prayed and asked God to touch you and heal you? No. I said, what are you waiting on? So we call on Him. So preparation. You got to prepare for healing through praise and prayer. And by the way, that's what we do on Wednesday night. And get over this mess about Brother Cal may call on me to pray. Well, I promise you I won't do that. But we got to get over that. Because we got to meet together for praise and prayer so folks can be healed. Can I get a witness? And then secondly, here's the second thing that we prepare for. We position ourselves for healing. We position ourselves for healing. Look at verse 14. Watch this now. Is anyone among you sick? Let him, or you could say her, call for the elders of the church. That's the leadership of the church. And let them pray over him or her, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now listen to this. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And so we position ourselves for healing when we pray. How? Somebody said it here a few minutes ago. In faith. That's right, in faith. Now, the sick person here in this scenario, he or she exercises their faith by calling on the leadership of the church to pray. Okay? Do you see that word call? There in verse 14, let him call. That word call means to invite. Invite. And so the sick one, the one who's suffering, calls, invites for leadership in the church to come and pray over him or her, not vice versa. When you get sick, you're the one who asks. That's how you express your faith, okay? That's how you exercise your faith, by inviting, by calling on prayer. And then the elders, in this case here, that's the leadership of the church. In our case, that would be pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, folks who are spiritually led here in this church by the Lord. And you call on them to come and pray over you. And they come, and did you catch that? What do they do? In verse 15 it says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And so the leadership who comes to pray, they pray in faith. And by the way, I'm only going to call on people when I need healing. I'm only going to call on folks who believe that God's able to heal me. James makes this perfectly clear. Turn left in your Bible just a page or two and look at this. Man, this is James chapter 1. Listen to verse 6. But with me. But let him ask how? In faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. You pray in doubt, you're going to go without. You pray believing, and it's going to be possible you may be receiving. Now, we don't always know God's will, but we do know that God is able to heal us of any and all disease. And the scripture here plainly tells us we're to pray for one another to be healed. That's what the Bible says. And I've had people get just hopping mad at me before for doing what the Bible says. And so the sick person calls in faith for the leadership to pray over them. By the way, our deacons have a prayer ministry that's not used. If you wind up sick and really suffer, I'm not talking about a hangnail, okay? I'm talking about if you really get sick and you're suffering, if you'll call on our deacons, they'll come to your home, they'll come to the hospital room, and they will pray over you. We've seen God do tremendous things through that. You need to exercise your faith and call on the leadership from time to time to come and pray. And then, watch this. We pray in faith. The leadership prays in faith. And then, now watch this. Don't miss this. I've got to get back to James. Here it is. And let them pray over him. That means to pray in God's will, to pray over him. Y'all with me so far? To pray over them. That means we're praying over him in God's will. Now, it's not always God's will to heal everybody of every disease. But I want to tell you, if you're a believer, you're going to get healed one day. What was the song they sang? We're going where? To the... And you ain't going like you look right now. You're going to be free from all sin. Whoo, glory. Now, praying over someone means you're praying in God's will, and you're now watch this. This is where some of us Baptists get all tore up. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You see this? This scares some Baptists all to death. This is just oil. That's all that is. There's no healing. The healing is in the Holy Spirit. Okay, and this is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. By the way, this came from Israel. And it smells so good. It's got all that anointing oil and the spices in it, you know. And I pull this out, and man, some Baptists just break out in a sweat. And oh my goodness, what's this Pentecostal preacher going to do now? I'm just doing what the Bible says do. Anoint them with oil. Which, y'all remember what Jesus said when they came and told him Lazarus was sick? He said, this sickness will glorify God. And that's what anointing someone with oil basically says. We're praying in faith and we're praying in God's will. Whenever someone was anointed with, sometimes they used it for medicinal purposes. And all healing comes from the Holy Spirit, right? And then sometimes people were anointed for burial. Kings were anointed with oil. And whenever they were anointed, they were being set apart for an assignment for the glory of God. Y'all with me? And so that's what the oil is symbolic of. It's symbolic of being set apart for the glory of God. And so when we suffer, when we're sick, and we exercise our faith by calling on the leadership to come, and they pray in faith, and they pray with great faith, and then they pray, God, heal our brother, heal our sister. But you've got a better plan than we do, Lord. By the way, y'all, God's got all the knowledge. He's got all the information. We're finite. He's infinite. All right? He's got a better plan than Cal does. And he's got a better plan for your life than you do. And he knows what's best. And sometimes it's just like Dr. Tommy. I'm going to heal him. And guess, last Sunday morning, who got the glory? Did Dr. Tommy get the glory? No. God did. And so that's what we pray, that this sickness, that's what that oil symbolizes, this sickness will glorify God in some way. Y'all still with me? You hadn't checked out on me. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, here's the last thing I want to say to you. We need to anoint that clock back there with oil. We prepare for healing through praise and prayer. We position ourselves for healing through praying in faith and in God's will for this sickness to glorify God. And then we preach healing. We're preaching healing. And did y'all know there's two types of healing? And there's one type of healing that's more important than the other. Dr. Tommy said this last Sunday. Spiritual healing is more important than physical healing. That's what it says here. It says, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Hallelujah. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so, The sin question needs to be answered before the sickness question. Y'all didn't get it. The sin question needs to be answered before the... Why is that, Pastor? Let me just ask you. Would it make any sense to pray for someone to be healed physically and then God heals them? And then that person winds up in hell when they die because they were never healed spiritually. Hello? And so spiritual healing has got to take place first. And so when we preach healing, we're talking about spiritual healing. And that comes through confession of sin and repentance and faith. And how dumb would it be for y'all to ask me to come and pray over you and I've got unconfessed, unrepented sin in my life? That prayer ain't getting through. You got to stay close and clean if you want that barrier. Hello? And so we pray for spiritual healing. And we confess to one another. And one of the we've been in prayer meetings before, and I'll just say, is there any unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life? Yeah. Well, go ahead and get right with God. And we confess. Now let me just say this. Man, I'm running out of time. Let me just say this. If you have to keep confessing the same old sin, day after day, week after week, month after month, confession is taking place, but not repentance. Because repentance means that you turn around. It's a spiritual U-turn. It means that you walk away. You forsake that sin. You go the other direction. You don't want anything to do with it. You abandon it. And by the way, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. If you're a believer. Are y'all with me? And so confession and repentance takes place. And then spiritual healing can take place. And then we keep preaching spiritual and we keep preaching physical healing. We do. Verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now here it is. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. One of the ways that we really do get God's attention, when we're close and clean, when we've confessed and we've repented, and we're crying out to God passionately and earnestly and fervently, that gets our great God's attention. Oh, he's serious. He really wants this. I was in a prayer meeting here a few weeks ago, and it was a great prayer meeting, but there was a, it wasn't around here, it was out of town. Somebody got to screaming. And I thought, is he being fervent and passionate, or is this guy angry? Fervency. Stay with me. Earnestness, passionate, okay? You don't have to yell at God to get Him to hear you. But emotions are important. Fervency. And so we continue to preach spiritual healing and physical healing. Now, have y'all got the outline here? The sick person does what? First of all, talks to God about it. Then he calls for who? The leadership of the church. That's how they exercise their faith. The leadership comes and they exercise their faith and they pray over him in faith and in God's will that this sickness might glorify God. They anoint him with that oil or her. And then they ask passionately and fervently for God to heal in his time. Does God still heal? Does God still save? Yeah. That thing says 10:01. Can y'all give me 5 minutes? Y'all heard a great testimony last week. Can I just share a testimony out of our ministry for you? Back in 2006, I took our children and our teenagers to Hillmont Camp. First time we'd ever been. And that's just down the road towards Dixon, White Bluff, Tennessee. Anybody know where that is? You got to get out and about to find White Bluff. And so we're down there at Hillmont Camp. And one of our sweet ladies, young girls in our church, I married them. They had just been married a year or two, year and a half maybe. She'd gotten pregnant and she's fixing to have a baby girl. Well, while we're at camp, Suzanne has this baby girl, Maddie Kay Cruz. And while we're at camp, this is like the fifth day. She was premature, but not bad, but a little early. And the fifth day she was at Vanderbilt, they called camp and asked for me. And they said, would you please pray? Our baby girl's got something bad wrong. And she had these hemangiomas. Now, you nurses probably understand what that is. I think that's blood vessels that were in her liver, and they were bleeding. And this little baby girl was bleeding to death. And so, man, I call for our children's minister. I call for Miss M. And I called for her husband, our chairman of deacons, who was at camp with me. I said, come on, we're getting in this red van. And we got in this Dodge van. And I mean, I drove the snot out of that thing. And we got to Vanderbilt in about 15 minutes from White Bluff. How about tore the sprinkler system out of the garage at Vanderbilt? We got in there and we ran upstairs to the fourth floor. And there's this broken-hearted little family. And so Ted and Emily go in and they pray over with the mom and dad and the grandparents. Everybody in the family was there. And so I ran back. The nurse took me back to see Maddie Kay. And she's in one of those little, what do you call that? Incubators. And her little body, her leg from her waist down, her legs were black. And her arms and her hands were beginning to get black. She's bleeding to death. And the doctor's in there, and he said, there's nothing else we can do for her. I said, what do you mean there's nothing else you can do for her? I said, I can do something. We're going to pray right here. And I prayed for God to touch that little girl. Nothing seemed to happen. And so I excused myself from the room, and I went back to the waiting room, and they're all in there praying. So I joined them. And we're all down on our hands and knees. I mean, they're weeping and crying out to God. And I mean, that place was a delivery room. And we were praying. And all of a sudden, the doctor's nurse came in the waiting room and said, if you want to see that baby before she dies, you better get back there. And Suzanne screamed. And Matt started squalling. And I said, come on. And on the way back there, I said, you keep believing. We have prayed in faith. You keep believing. God's able to deliver her here or there. We don't know which one, but we prayed. I said, do you believe? And they said, yes, we believe. And it took 45 seconds to get from the waiting room back to the whatever they call that room. And when we walked in there, that baby girl's skin was rose colored. My son was at Hillmont Camp with them last month. And guess who was leading Bible study for one of the girls? It wasn't Isaac. It was Maddie Kay. 16 years old. God still heals. In His time. And in His will. For His glory. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I know somebody in this church house today needs spiritual healing. They need forgiveness of their sin. They need to place their trust and faith in Christ and receive the greatest miracle they'll ever get. Salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. And I pray right now, if you're here today, and you need to be spiritually healed once and for all, that right now, hang with me, stay with me, this most important time of the service. Pray and ask God, say, Lord, I'm a sinner, And I need for you to forgive me of my sin. And I want to give my life to you. I believe Jesus paid for all my sin, and I believe He's alive today. And by faith, I give my life to you this morning. My Bible tells me if you prayed that way with all your heart, God just now received you and gave you a brand new heart, a brand new nature. And you've been born again from above. And you need to confess that this morning. And then maybe you're here today and you need exactly what we're talking about. You need to be healed physically or emotionally or mentally. I'll tell you, God is here. And He'll help you to do what it is that you need to do. But we're not going to drag you out of your seat. We're not going to beg you to ask for prayer. You've got to do that. And in just a moment, we're all going to stand, and this altar is going to be wide open. We're going to ask you to come for spiritual healing, physical, mental, or emotional healing. You come. Father, would you touch this place now with your power and provide the things that our people need? We ask it in the powerful name of our healing, great physician, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our deacons and our wives, our counselors, our prayer team, y'all need to be ready to come and pray over folks.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.